In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to begin with a reading from the Gospel Gleaner. Now, the Gospel Gleaner is a publication of whom the editor is Andy Erwin, E-R-W-I-N. And if you want to go to their website, it is www.gospelgleaner.com. One word, G-O-S-P-E-L-G-L-E-A-N-E-R. That's G-O-S-P-E-L-G-L-E-A-N-E-R. GospelGleaner.com. And there you'll find information about this publication and how you could have it sent to your home. When you think of a gleaner, you might think of Ruth in the Old Testament, who gleaned in the fields of Boaz. Substitute Bible there for Boaz and go through the scriptures, gleaning from the great harvest of truth that is there, and then gather those truths up, print them up, and put them in this little publication, and you understand the meaning of the title, Gospel Gleaner. Now, in this, the editor, Andy Erwin, printed an article that I had written called Forgive 490 Times. And I would like to read that to you at this time. 490 is a lot of times to forgive someone. But if you are counting, you're doing it wrong. Some of the rabbis in Peter's day thought 3 times were enough. It is suggested that they may have gotten this from Amos, who would roar out in his preaching, "For 3 transgressions and for 4. Amos said this 7 times in the book of Amos. Peter more than doubled the count in this popular teaching when he suggested that we forgive each other 7 times. Matthew 18:22. While Peter was adding the 3 and 4 together, well, he could have been. 7 is a number that often symbolizes completeness. But if Peter was talking about forgiving someone 7 times by literal count, and it appears that he was, then he did not understand forgiveness at all. Imagine saying to someone, "All right, I'll forgive you again, but this is the 5th time, and that means you have only 2 more to go." Anyone who would say or think such a thing does not know the meaning of forgive and forget. Jesus said to Peter, "I say not unto thee 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Matthew 18:22. That is 490 times. Some of the newer translations are adding rather than multiplying, and they have Jesus telling Peter to forgive only 77 times. But still, if you're counting, you're missing the point. 490 is a lot of times, but I suspect a lot of married couples passed that mark a long time ago, along with parents with rebellious and wayward children. If we knew the actual count, I'm sure we would all be ashamed at how many times the Lord has had to forgive us. And we would be thankful that He did not stop after transgression 490. Peter told Jesus about the servant who was forgiven of a debt of 10,000 talents. Commentators differ on how much 10,000 talents would be in our currency, but they all agree it was a number so absurdly large that it would have been impossible for the servant to pay. After receiving forgiveness, the forgiven servant refused to forgive a fellow servant who had a debt of 100 pence. Again, the current value is not clear, but the commentators agree that this was a reasonable debt that in all likelihood could have been repaid. When the king found out what had happened, he was wroth. He called the unforgiving servant a wicked servant and delivered him to the tormentors until the debt was paid. And since the debt was too large to be paid, the king sent the wicked servant to the tormentors forever. Then Jesus made the application, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses, Matthew 18:35. Jesus said to forgive from your hearts. Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Matthew 6:12. Be careful how you pray. If you're holding a grudge in your heart against someone for an infraction, then you're asking, in effect, God to withhold forgiveness from you. Jesus explained, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Matthew 6:14-15. Jesus further taught us, through the Spirit, in Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A kind, tender-hearted, forgiving God makes us a kind, tender-hearted, forgiving people. However, if you're keeping score and counting transgressions, then you're not forgiving from the heart. Matthew 18:35. Well, that was that article in the Gospel Gleaner. Again, I'm going to give you the email address or the web page so you can find out about this publication for yourself. It is www.gospelgleaner.com. Well, I was the one that wrote that article, and I read that because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, class, we're going to return to our regular lessons, looking at a series of lessons on living the Christian life. And this is a Sunday school lesson about a Christian being a follower of Jesus. And we're talking about the time Jesus called his disciples to him. And I want to read to you again from the text of Mark 2:13-17, where it says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the place of toll. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that he was sitting at meat in his house, and many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with the sinners and publicans, said unto his disciples, Why is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Now this is where we read that Matthew became a disciple. Here he is called Levi. In the book of which he is the author, Levi calls himself Matthew. The name Matthew means a gift of God. Of him very little is said in the Bible. He was a Jew, the son of Alphaeus, and a publican. He speaks of himself as Matthew the publican, unwilling to conceal his despised calling, for he left all to follow Jesus. He was probably a disciple of John the Baptist, and he became a disciple of Jesus, and later, in Matthew 10:2-4, we read he was called to be an apostle. He made Christ a great feast, which he modestly declines to relate. He is mentioned by the name the last time in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. In Acts chapter 1, he is among the 12 that are awaiting in the upper room and awaiting in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. It is universally accepted that he is the author of the book which bears his name. And it is understood he wrote it for the benefit especially of his fellow countrymen, the Jews. The place of toll was the custom station. Customs were the taxes imposed by the government on both imported and exported goods. On taxes and the publicans, there's an article following this lesson that we will read at the appropriate time. But Matthew left all for Jesus. Luke says when Jesus called Matthew, he forsook all and rose up and followed him. He promptly obeyed. He was called to a higher life, a nobler work, to gather no longer perishable money from the Roman treasury, but to save souls for heaven. It cost him something. This business, his hope of earthly gain, and a comfortable, luxurious life to follow him who had not where to lay his head. There are not many Matthews now. Note here that one must forsake all for Jesus, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus, Matthew 10:38, Matthew 16:24, Luke 14:27-33. Like Andrew, Peter, James, and John, Matthew evidently had heard of Jesus before and was already his disciple, but now was called to become a constant attendant and do that preparation which was necessary to fit him for the apostleship. Now the facts given in these accounts of Jesus and his disciples, they're not always in chronological order. And so the call of Matthew and the feast of which he gave to Jesus, it did not necessarily occur at the same time. None of the writers give what Christ did and said in chronological order always. They gather up incidences, sometimes from several parts of Christ's ministry, and then group them together to explain some action of Jesus and to show his authority and power. For example, Matthew 8 and 9 are filled with the wonderful works of Jesus. And it was not intended by the writer to give these in the order in which they occurred, but to group them together so as they produce a clear, strong, and deep conviction that Jesus is the Son of God and has authority to teach. God bore testimony to him by miracles. The miracles themselves were manifestations of mercy to suffering humanity, but their chief purpose was to convince people of the truth of the claims of Jesus. Well, Matthew had a feast. So, in this verse, the call of Matthew was at one time in the feast, sometime later. It was a great feast prepared by Matthew in his own house for Jesus and his disciples, to which many publicans and others were invited. He wanted his fellow publicans and other friends who were sinners to meet Jesus, that they might come under his influence and be saved. Jesus and his disciples attended the feast, and they attended the marriage feast in Cana. It is not wrong for Christians to attend feasts prepared by unbelievers if, as did Jesus, they seek the good of all and the glory of God. When it said he sat at meat, or was sitting at meat, as Mark puts it, it means that they reclined after the usual custom at the table. But there was criticism to come to Jesus by way of the scribes and Pharisees. We know who they were. They were not guests at this feast, but saw Jesus and his disciples there, or they knew they were there, and they were on the watch. In their sight, it was wrong for religious teachers to mix with publicans and sinners, and hence it was a great shock to their sense of propriety for Jesus to eat with such men. But we'll continue this in our next class.